We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we have Paul, and he's speaking to the church there at Corinth, and he's being gut-level honest with them. And he says, "For some say, I am of Paul. Others say, I'm of Apollos." Paul, he did not need man to tell him his position in Christ. He is an apostle to the Gentiles, called and separated to minister to Gentiles, which was not all that easy for a Jewish man to do. He was not called to his beloved Jewish brethren. He had a natural love for his fellow Jew. But Paul is a man of passion for sinners. He has a devotion that we spoke of to his Jewish brethren that knew no limits. He loved them unconditionally. And Paul, for his own good, for his own well-being, was called by God to the Gentiles. And Paul goes through a time of separation, for he has this natural love for the Jew. And we know in part of that transformation and the sorrow that Paul would feel and endure for his fellow countrymen. And for several chapters there in the book of Acts, we see Paul desiring to go to Rome, desiring an opportunity to witness to his fellow Jews. And he goes, and he's there, and he's arrested, and he's saved by a Roman centurion there at Jerusalem. But Paul, in his love for the Jews, declares before the Lord, "If possible, I am willing to be accursed by God if my separation and damnation would cause my fellow Jews to be saved." Big statement. "I love you people, but I don't think I'm willing to be damned for your salvation. Sorry, I'm not there yet. I cherish my eternal life." But what if Paul would have been called to the Jews and not to the Gentiles? I think the rejection of the Jews would have been more than Paul could have bared. I don't think he could have handled that if that's who he was called to and their rejection of Messiah. I sometimes think our natural love for friends, even family members, it can be almost too troubling for us to bear or comprehend. I have heard some parents declare, "Heaven will not be heaven if my children are not there." All right, what's your solution? And God, in his mercy and grace, he must assure us. We have the assurance that he loves our family members. He loves the sinners more than we love them. And it's a great comfort when we become stressed for the unbelief of our loved ones. We can find ourselves wanting to believe for them. We don't want them to have free will. We want them to understand their need of Christ. And we can understand Paul and his love for his Jewish brethren regardless of their unbelief. We can also then understand why God called Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. I think it was an easing of the burden there, an easing of the pain. But Paul is allowed to minister to the Gentiles without being totally consumed by their carnal ways. So let's read verses 17, or 2, 5 through 17 in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Good question. Paul and Apollos, their ministry is summed up in verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We have never saved anyone. We only present the message. Even the Apostle Paul, great apostle that he was not all things to everyone. He desired to be a good witness and a good apostle. But Paul realized, as believers, that he worked together with others to bring into the kingdom of God. We work, we serve, but God by his Spirit gives the increase. Paul did not assume that he alone brought in the harvest of souls. And each and every worker in God's harvest receives his own reward. We all work together. Billy Graham, you ever heard of him? Perhaps the greatest evangelist of our day. And people would look to Billy Graham at his crusades. But did he ever look at any of his old TV recordings? He's very simple, very straightforward in his message. But there are those who would travel with Billy, go before him to these different cities, and they would intercede in prayer as Billy presented the gospel. In God's economy, we cannot discount the ones who intercede in prayer for lost souls. We all work together. That kind of prayer, interceding prayer for lost souls, is a ministry in and of itself. I believe many souls come to Christ by and through the prayers of unseen saints, those that are calling out their name before God. And then as we move through this passage, we come to verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. God has chosen this day of grace for us, for the likes of you, for the likes of me, to be part of his labor force in the harvest field. He's called us to that. Now we can think, well, who am I? I am totally insignificant or even a poor example for others. But God says, you're my fellow workers in my kingdom. A few years back, Lori and I had a neighbor, actual next door neighbor, and he was a young, strange fellow. And we tried to befriend them. They were a young couple. And we had he and his wife over for dinner. And he would separate his food on his plate, eating one thing at a time and making commentary on the foods he liked and the foods he did not like. And he'd point this out, a little rude. And on one occasion, we had some church folks over for a kind of a cookout get together at the farm. And I had an old dirt bike that I would ride on the farm and so forth. And he decided to ride my dirt bike. It was Evel Knievel being turned loose. And all I can think of, he's going to kill himself and he's going to sue me. Long story short, he and his wife end up divorcing and moving away. And we hear nothing from them or about them for years. But about a year ago, I got an email from this young hooligan. And it was a good email. And he thanked me for being a Christian witness, a Christian example, for he is now a believer. And I go, wow, God can save anyone. I was shocked, but I was well pleased by his email. But here God used Lori and myself to be an example, and we didn't even realize it. We were being fellow workers in his kingdom. This young neighbor, now a Christian, and it delighted our hearts to know that God had used us. It was a great surprise, a pleasant surprise, to understand God has used you as an example when we least expected it. For all I could see was the flaws and the faults of this young man. But you know, I think heaven will be full of people that we have forgotten or who we have written off. It's good to know that, like the Apostle Paul, we're in God's harvest field. Paul identified himself as a master builder. He laid a spiritual foundation that others could build upon. But Paul knew the foundation that he built upon was Jesus Christ. Paul lived and breathed as a fellow worker in God's kingdom. And he also realized that there was a future reward waiting for him. It was stored up for him. And we have a man here among our fellowship who lost his father a few years back. His father, far as he knew, never come to be a believer. And he was troubled because he did not see this believing change in his dad. But you know, we're not always privy. We're not always on the inside to what God is doing in a heart and life. Man is given a free will to believe or not believe. So when we see death take away a loved one, believer or not believer, we have to understand and realize God is a loving God. He's a loving God. And if we, as his children, love family and friends, how much more does God love them? God loves them more than we can imagine. And we do not know what goes on between a person that's lingering between consciousness and unconsciousness before death takes them. We don't know the dynamics that goes on between that person and God. And I believe, truly believe, in numerous conversions, what we would call deathbed conversions. I believe that happens. You know, God is not limited to our conscious state of mind that we are limited to. God is above our senses of see, touch, hear, feel. He's above our emotions. In fact, there are many Muslims today who are receiving dreams of Jesus and God reaching out to them. God is active, using us as fellow workers, but he isn't limited to us. God can intercede in a life where there seems to be no human touch there. And this verse where we are co-workers is simply God telling us, be faithful, be courageous, do what you can do. It's a great blessing to realize we get to work, co-work in God's harvest field. What a great call upon us. We have purpose, we have meaning. But you know our Lord, he's not willing that any should perish. So don't limit him. Don't limit our God. Jesus came to save the lost. That's why he came. So if you're a Christian, I salute you. We're fellow believers. But if you're not a Christian, today you can change that. You can change that. For we're given a free will, a free choice. I would urge each and every one to become a believer. And we'll have people in the prayer area who would be more than delighted to pray with you to receive Christ if you find yourself apart from Christ. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, I would just pray for all who are here that all would come to know you, Lord, that each one would have that moment, that decision-making moment where they choose you and your sacrifice there on the cross for their salvation. It's that simple, Lord. So urge, convict, do your thing as the Holy Spirit to save us, Lord. We live in a world that is separated from you. Lord, that we would come to know you and that we would be and we would find ourselves co-workers in your harvest field. What a great honor, privilege, and responsibility we have to be a co-worker in your harvest field. Lord, save many is our prayer. I can't imagine what it would be like to be apart from you, Lord, to not have my future secure in you. I've grown accustomed to that comfort, Lord. I thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving these, your people. They're yours. We're fellow workers in your harvest field. Bring forth fruit from your harvest field, Lord, is our prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.